I want to really start by reading a passage from John 17. And I'm going to read the whole chapter just to kind of contextualize it. But we will be talking primarily about Jesus' heart's desire to see God glorified through his sacrifice on the cross. But it says, "After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Yeah, Jesus, I just pray that you would bless this word to us this morning. Help us to understand it and help me to share your heart for glorifying the Father. Amen. Yeah, so as has already been said, today is Good Friday, the day in the year when we remember Jesus' death for us on the cross. And I don't know what aspects of God's character come to your mind immediately when you kind of hear about the cross. Perhaps his forgiveness, his love, his justice, his work of reconciliation, the suffering servant. And none of this is wrong. In fact, the cross shows aspects of all of this and more. And we know that Jesus died out of love for us. There are many verses in the Bible to prove it. I won't go through them all. But John 3:16, I'm sure that most of you will be familiar with. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life." Romans 5:8, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus was obedient to death because he loved us, and he demonstrates his love for us in this. We know that Jesus died to save us from our sin, to heal us. 1 John 3:5, but you know that he appeared that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Jesus died to save us from our sins. Such an important and crucial part, the turning point of our salvation. Jesus takes our sin away. And in taking our sin away, he brings us into relationship with him to reconcile us one with him, as we've just heard about in John 17. The Titus 2 passage there says that our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Each of these is amazing. Each of these is an entire sermon series, probably, in itself. I don't have time, and I'm not going to try and go through them all this morning. Jesus died because he loves us. He died because he wanted to save us. He died because he wants relationship with us. Go away, spend some time today looking at Jesus' purpose on the cross in each of those things to study it further. But today I really want to almost take the focus off ourselves for a moment. When I was praying about what to bring, I really felt God reveal something to me of the Father-Son heart, the Father-Son relationship that was evident here. Because in and through and alongside all this, all the love for us, Jesus was obedient to death on a cross because he wanted to glorify the Father. Jesus lived to glorify God. And even in death, Jesus' desire was still to glorify God. John 12 says, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said that this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world, and the prince of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Just focus in for a minute, if I can go back, on verse 27 to 28. Jesus said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." Jesus, when facing the cross, when facing death, the hour that it had come, Jesus' prayer was, "Father, glorify your name." Jesus' heart cry was to see God glorified. Rather than, "Father, save me from this hour," rather than, "Father, take this cup away," he prayed, "Father, glorify your name. I will do this in accordance to your will." He chose not to be saved from this hour, his heart's desire being instead to see God's glory. So what do we mean when we talk about God's glory? What comes to mind? Well, perhaps one of the most famous passages on God's glory would be at the prayer of dedication of the temple. So rewind several thousand years and you've got the Israelites who have come into the land of Israel, Solomon has just finished building the temple, and he's praying. And when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to God, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." The glory of the Lord fills the temple, the space of his presence, his dwelling place. Where God is, there is glory. When Moses spoke with God, his face shone, and the Israelites couldn't bear it. The glory of the Lord incites a response of worship, an acknowledgement of his goodness and his love. The glory of the Lord is shining holiness. It's God in fullness, and yet it's God in goodness and it's God in love that he chose to come and dwell amongst men. He is good and his love endures forever. Now, we can't talk about word meanings without bringing in some Greek. So, in the John passages that we've been looking at, the word for glorify is doxazo. Excuse my Greek pronunciation, not my first language. Doxazo and glory is the root word of doxazo, which is the verb. And this word means praise and honor and to extol and magnify. But I want to really draw your attention to the last point there. A manifestation of the worth of the individual. So the son's obedience to death showed the worth in which he viewed the father in the importance of bringing praise to his name. Jesus knew the father was worth obeying to death, to bring praise to his name. And through Jesus' obedience, as we'll go on to see, he showed not only the Father's worth, but the Father received praise and honor. But not only the Father, because the Father glorified the Son as well. It was a mutual receiving of glory, because the one was glorified, the other, the first, was also. John 13:31-32 says, "When he was gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son himself, and will glorify him at once.'" Slightly confusing. Let me maybe put it in smaller sentences. Because the Son of Man is glorified, God is glorified in him. Because the Son of Man died and was raised again, God is glorified in him. And because God is glorified in and by and through the Son in his obedience, the Father glorified the Son. So Jesus, in being obedient to death, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. The Son glorified the Father, and the Father glorified the Son. God will not let his people be put to shame when they are walking in obedience to him, that they might bring him glory. Indeed, it's the same word that would be used in the Greek translation of 1 Samuel 2:30, where God says, "They that honor me, I will honor." And that's come up in Eric Liddell's story, which we spoke about a few Sundays ago. "Those that honor me, I will honor." So how does Jesus bring God glory? There are two ways that I want to look at this morning. First is in obedience to completing the Father's will. John 17:4-5, which we've already read, says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. In completing God's work, Jesus made known his splendor, his power, his majesty, and made God appear as excellent in the eyes of the people because he displayed God's character to them. In John 11, we find the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And at the tomb, Jesus turns to Martha and says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" He prays then, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus was simply doing what he had been sent to do. And because of that, God received glory. Jesus lived that life of obedience to God. He did only what he had seen and heard from the Father. And so everything done through obedience was for the glory, praise, and pleasure of God. And we see this time and time again. Jesus performs a miracle. Jesus speaks. And people glorify God because of Jesus' obedience to him. And his death was no exception. Jesus had completed the Father's will on earth, and the Father had been glorified through it. And so John 12 tells us the Father will again be glorified. Isaiah 53 says that it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. Jesus did what he heard his Father saying and telling and leading him to do on earth. And again, he did it in death. It was the Lord's will. He was obedient to the Lord's will. He completed it. On that cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And while that may often be read as a statement of the debt that's paid, the debt is finished, it's cancelled, it's completed, there's another meaning. In Greek, the word can mean to fulfill and to complete, so that the thing done corresponds to what has been commanded, to perform that last act which completes a process of fulfillment and accomplishing what has been said. In his death, Jesus completed that last act to fulfill the will of the Father, to be obedient to the end. And we know that that brought God glory. The centurion, after Jesus had died, when he saw what had been done, glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." But we also know from Philippians that because Jesus became obedient to death, even death on a cross, therefore God exalted him to that highest place. Jesus glorified the Father. The Father glorified the Son. The other way that I want to look at Jesus bringing God glory was through love and unity, not only with the Father, but also bringing us in. I've already mentioned that Jesus died to save us. Jesus died to reconcile us, to bring us into unity. Jesus died because he loved us. John 17, to go back to it, says, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." The Father glorifies the Son because he loves him. We've already seen that it was Jesus' heart cry, "Father, glorify your name." We know that love compels obedience. The Son obeyed out of love for the Father. And so Jesus' obedience and desire to see the Father glorified, and his deep love for the Father, tie together. And we know that God is love, and from that love flows this desire to glorify the other and see the other glorified. Not only in love between the Godhead, but Jesus then brought us into that love. He brought us into unity. In the Godhead, there is one purpose, one will, because each desires to lift the other up, to glorify, do good to, and bring praise to the other. They are united in love and in glory. And Jesus brings us into that oneness to bring the Father glory by his death. On the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. This has already been read this morning. Jesus, who lived in this place of love and unity and oneness and glory with the Father. Imagine then the separation when the Father turned away. And Jesus, in glorifying God on that cross, endured that separation from God so that we don't have to any longer. He became sin for us that we might not bear our own sin any longer. What a reason we have to glorify God. Jesus became sin for us to bring us into oneness, into unity with him. And through our unity with him, Jesus receives glory. We might not be physically with Jesus in paradise today. The thief to whom it was originally said saw a literal fulfillment of that. However, we can know the assurance of our own eternal salvation and destination. Jesus' first two statements on the cross was, Father, forgive them, they know not what they are doing. And then I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Forgiveness and assurance of that eternal destination. To bring us into unity with him. Glory comes to Jesus through our unity, through us being with him. It says that in John 17:10 that we've already read. And just as Jesus died, we also can be those vessels to bring God glory through obedience and love in unity. But also through bearing fruit. Chris talked last week about bearing fruit. I won't repeat what he says. Go back and listen to it on the YouTube. But fruit comes from God. When we are connected to the vine in unity. God is glorified through our fruit, but this fruit is not of ourselves. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. But again, that light is not our own. It comes from God. The Bible warns us against self-glorification. The Pharisees produced so thought good fruit, yet they sought the glory of man for themselves rather than the glory of God. So how do we guard against self-glorification? Well, Jesus says, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. So we go back to unity. We are obedient to the one who sends us, the one whose words we hear and speak out. So let us live through God so that we can live for God. We saw earlier that the temple was filled with God's glory. Well, friends, God indwells each one of us. God fills us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, glorify God with your body. It is God that glorifies, and we glorify him. So as the living God fills each of us, let us live, therefore, through him and for his glory. Let us make his name and his worth known by shining his light and living in obedience. There's a song, Center, by Bethel Music, which we sang at Limitless Leaders, but I don't think we've sung here. And it goes, "My whole life for your glory, my whole world for you only, everything for the honor of your name." So let us pray with Jesus, not save me from this hour, but Father, glorify your name, as we live out of a desire to see him known, a deep love for him, and from a place of peace and unity with him. And we can know that as we do so, as we seek to honor and glorify him, that if the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. May God be glorified in and through us all as we follow the example of Jesus. Let's pray. Yeah, Jesus, I just thank you that you lived to glorify the Father. Your heart's cry was, Father, glorify your name. And I just pray that as we seek to follow your example, as we seek to live in unity and in love and in obedience to everything you command us to do, Jesus, I pray that that would also be our heart's cry. Father, glorify your name in us and through us, as you were through your son's death on the cross. Yeah, Jesus, fill us today with your Spirit. Indwell each of us, that we might produce your fruit and shine your light. And in that reconciliation that you want for us, might glorify you. Amen.